Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. You did a delay point there because you saw my sad face.
I was just testing your reaction. Happy Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving. Cheers, Thanksgiving.
Cheers.
Clink.
Clink.
No. We have cup holders on. They didn't.
Koozies.
Happy Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving in early-ish October, and like you always say, American Thanksgiving is remedial Thanksgiving.
Canada had the first Thanksgiving.
That's true, way
back in the day.
And we have an episode about it.
Yeah, go listen to the episode. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Go listen to the episode.
There you go.
I don't know what number it is, but it's on.
Oh, it's early. It's like our fifth or something.
Yeah, it's literally like fifth.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, so happy Thanksgiving. Like we said last week, this is coming out just like a little bit late because we're celebrating Thanksgiving.
Well, we were away. We just got home.
Yes, like literally just now. Our suitcases are still sitting right there.
Yeah.
But yay. And it is unseasonably gorgeous out here in Canada.
It's been very warm. We were in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah.
Well, you had some autumnal outfits.
But they were sleeveless.
And... Just because you wanted to wear autumnal clothes.
Yeah, autumnal, and I kept saying everything was autumnal. Yeah. Well, we saw some family, and we ate some food, and it was lovely.
Yeah, some food, quote, unquote.
We ate all the food. Mm. All the food that there is in the world.
Yeah.
We ate it. But I have been posting some pictures this weekend, and I'm going to post more after I finish getting organized. So, yeah, you can see what Canadian Thanksgiving looks like for us this year.
Okay, wait, we clinked our drinks. Now we have to talk about them.
Oh, yes. You picked some drinks for us.
They're seasonal, sort of.
They're autumnal.
Well, they go very well with Thanksgiving. I have a cranberry neutral.
And I have a pumpkin beer. This is a St. Ambrose?
Yeah.
Pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
Yay.
Pumpkin beer.
I love pumpkin beer.
It's funny. It's like kind of ironic because I don't like cranberry sauce on my turkey dinners or nothing, but I do like a cranberry neutral.
You do.
So
cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce is a yes with turkey for me. That'll be a yes. And pumpkin beer. Yes.
Yes. Well, no one's ever said you had good taste, so there you go.
I picked you. Also, it is spooky season, so we're going to keep talking about that. But, Brandon, what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, while we were away for our Thanksgiving festivities, we did a little shopping, and we bought some new board games.
Ooh, yes, we did.
One, you picked out one, and I picked out
one. Yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk about each of them?
Sure.
Okay, because we played mine already, and it was called the Illiterati.
The Illiterati.
Which is also, this is like a nerd thing wrapped in a nerd thing. It's you're a group of librarians trying to save the world from illiteracy, one word at a time. And it's who will it spell disaster or will you have the last word?
Yeah, and
it's great.
And the whole game is like you're trying to put words back into books, and and the books are these cards with different goals that are the game, the actual game itself, but the books that are the cards are like little literary puns or like fake books,
exactly,
all parody books.
Yes, like I like Celsius 236 point whatever instead of Fahrenheit 451. It was all very good anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, and what about yours?
My game is called the Guild of Merchant Explorers, and it's kind of like your conquistadors or British privateers or something like that, and you're kind of exploring the new world or whatever.
It looks super cool. We haven't played that one, but I was a fan of how the artwork looked on it. There's this board game shop in this town that we always stop in during Thanksgiving weekend, and it is like the coolest board game shop I've ever seen. Very knowledgeable and lots of cool different things in there, so pretty excited.
Yeah,
good nerd thing.
I like board games.
Mm-hmm.
We have way too many. But
way too many, but that's okay. I enable this. I was like, okay, you should buy it. good nerd thing. I approve. My nerd thing is just that it's Thanksgiving and it's the long weekend and yay.
That's a terrible nerd thing. You can piggyback off mine, though. You talked about your board game.
I did.
So that's
Thank
fine.
You. I appreciate
that's
it.
That's fine.
I appreciate it. It was good.
I'll give you a piggyback once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. You're bigger than me.
Oh, my knees!
Okay, Brandon, before we head to the news, we have two things to talk about. We had the final episode of Ahsoka, and we had the first episode of Loki.
Oh, it was Disney Plus content central.
Right? So, spoiler-free initial gut reaction, quick response, what did you think of Ahsoka finale?
So, that finished up on Tuesday. First of all, let me just say how much I very much enjoy the new release time of all these these shows, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and that works out to 7 p.m. our time, and it is lovely.
Yeah, we can actually watch them, literally as they come out.
Watch them as they come out. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about avoiding spoilers if you're caught up, and wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It's going to be tough to talk about Ahsoka without spoilers.
Well, how about this? We are going to have a whole Ahsoka episode next week, full of spoilers.
Yeah.
So save your spoilers till then.
I really like the series as a whole. The finale might leave you wanting more, but that's kind of how it's designed, I guess. I don't know.
It did what it was supposed to do, and right. I think that's what it was supposed to do. So.
Anyway, we're going to have a lot to discuss.
Yes, but next week.
As the series as a whole I liked, I can't really talk about that episode at all without any spoilers. So.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right, okay. What about the first episode of Loki?
That was
season
good.
Season 2, Loki.
I liked that a lot. They had released the first, they released the first 4 of 6 episodes to reviewers, and it was like pretty mixed reaction. But I think critics in general aren't drinking the Marvel Kool-Aid anymore, and now they're kind of like just
cynical
and anti that. And for me, I'm not that way yet. Anyway, and so I'm just enjoying things.
Yeah, good Marvel's good Marvel.
And
whatever.
No, I think it was solid.
Yep,
it felt short, but that's just because
I know I was like, oh, it's done.
Yeah.
But yes, I liked it too. I agree.
No better know a listener this week because it's a holiday and I'm on holiday.
Deal. Disney A News Update. News. So, we've got some news, Brandon. There's the final related collection of the D100 anniversary celebrations as they come to a close. The last of the merch was released, and I already showed you the Loungefly bag.
Yeah.
That I like.
Mm-hmm. You have to describe
it. It's a partner statue, the silhouette of the partner statue in the front, like with fireworks and everything all around it. And
it's a black bag
really
with
cool.
The silhouette of the partner statue, and the fireworks are going off against the night sky, and, and it lights up, apparently.
Yes, which looks awesome. Sounds awesome. I would love it. I also want the Kermit Loungefly bag because there's a Kermit collection now.
A Kermit Rainbow Connection.
Oh my gosh,
bag.
Looks so
yes,
good.
He's got
it's literally
banjo.
Him on his band. Oh, I love it. I don't know which one I'd want more. I just have to get both.
No, because guess what? You're on a Loungefly budget.
The Heartbeat of New Orleans, a living mural nighttime show, debuted at the Rivers of America on September 29th for a limited time. This is about a small frog from the Louisiana Bayou drawn to New Orleans lights and music.
So this is to kind of substitute teach for Fantasmic.
Correct.
And
substitute teach, exactly.
It ties in with the new Tiana's restaurant and the soon to be Tiana's Bayou Adventure. I don't know, it's synergizing, but yeah, it's a substitute teacher nighttime show basically.
I like that. Disney is slashing children's park ticket prices in half at both U.S. parks for January 8th to March 10th for as little as $50, and the sale starts October 24th. So if you're thinking about taking your little ones to Disneyland or Disney World at some point in the early new year, you want to probably wait another little bit to buy tickets and then buy the tickets.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal, but it makes that as a sale makes a lot of sense because you ain't taking kids without an adult, so.
Exactly. And it's their slow time of year.
Yeah.
But them slashing ticket prices in half was such big news, it made like regular news. So not just Disney news. So
yeah,
it puts them in a positive way that gets people excited.
It sounds like a bigger deal than it is, because generally you're gonna take kids as a family, so then you have some full price tickets in there.
Yep.
And of course then you're spending all the merch, so and kids tickets are also way cheaper than adults tickets in the first place.
I want them to slash Canadian prices again.
Yeah, they should have a Canadian resident deal soon.
Agreed. I have two more news items. You want to go negative or positive next? Or neutral, I guess.
Whichever you like.
We have two new attractions being added, reported to be added to Genie Plus in the nearest future.
In Disneyland. Okay.
Can you guess what one of them is? It exists.
Space Mountain.
It was just a matter of time before it got added to Genie Plus. Because right now it's still on individual Lightning Lane.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yeah.
Bet you'll never guess the other one, though.
Gadget's Go Coaster.
Ariel's Undersea Adventure.
Oh, no. This is going to be the big test, because people say that Monsters, Inc., same park, same type of ride.
Yep.
Monsters, Inc. never needed a Fast Pass. It was originally Fast Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And before it had Fast Pass, it was always a walk-on. And then as soon as it got Fast Pass, then there was lineups.
And now the lineup's going to be crazy.
Can be very crazy. Now, is this a chicken and egg thing? Is it going to make Little Mermaid more popular?
Mm-hmm.
Little Mermaid does load a little faster because it is a true Omnimover that just goes. I don't know. It definitely doesn't need Lightning Lane. That thing is never, ever lined up.
Now, to be fair, these are reported. I haven't seen the official news on it yet, but I was quite a few of the blogs and social media stuff was reporting on this.
That's just a waste of everyone's time and effort. Yeah.
But it is a sign to me that they really like Genie Plus, because by adding more to it, they're like, hey, look, you need this. You buy it.
I think they want to give the illusion of that it's popular, mm-hmm. not just an afterthought.
Right.
Ride like similar to Monsters, Inc. And it worked for Monsters, Inc. Now that sucks in a lot of people. So,
well, heck, I remember when Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters was always a walk-on. Or very close to a walk-on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember Monsters, Inc. being a walk-on. So, and now it can be sometimes lined up more than Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Craziness. Okay, and then finally, on a downer note, Julia Ormond is suing Disney and Miramax, which Disney owned in the 90s, for negligence as part of accusations against Harvey Weinstein for sexual assault.
Yeah, I mean, I guess somebody's got to have liability, and it's all about what you can prove, who knew what and what and so forth. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised there hasn't been more of that because...
It's basically saying, like, you knew and you covered up.
There's a lot of companies involved with Harvey Weinstein over the years, and I'm sure there's some proof out there of what some people knew and swept under the rug, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever. I have some news to not to move on from that too quickly, but...
Well, no, but this is a statement of what's going on,
We haven't talked about it, but, like, a couple weeks ago, they settled the writer's strike.
Okay.
And it is all official, done deal. The writers are back to work.
Yes. So we just said that it looked like it was going to be a done deal, and then we didn't report. Yes.
Yeah, so done deal. Things are starting to spin back up again. Unfortunately, they haven't settled with the Screen Actors Guild, who are also on strike at the same time. They started after. But I assume that's going to be the next thing. They're striking for similar reasons. Mm-hmm. A lot of problems with the royalties for streaming content.
Okay.
And things like that. So I'm sure that'll resolve soon-ish.
I'm glad they settled with the writers, though. Pay your writers.
Yeah, so writers specifically means that things like late night comedy can come back, because that's they're not anything to do with the Screen Actors Guild, but they're the writers.
Yep,
they need the writers, obviously.
It's totally
a little tough to do jokes without anybody writing
your jokes. Yeah, totally. That's good, though. Curious to see what happens now with the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just think there was too much pressure to get things rolling again. They were going to start running out of content for next year, kind of thing. So
right, that's why people go on strike, though.
Yep.
You got to do it until the pressure's on.
You need to, to be a successful union in a strike mode, you need to be able to be prepared to do it until whoever you're striking against feels the pressure and buckles, right?
That's right.
And sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not.
Yep.
And there's examples of that in the real world and the entertainment world. So for sports, for example, baseball, their players' union has always been extremely strong, and they did lose one season way back in the day in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
To a strike. Canadians don't really forgive them for that, because it was right after the Blue Jays had won both their World Series, and the Expos were like the odds-on favorite to be the best team in the league on the year they lost, and then the Expos left after that.
Ooh.
But the players' union crushed the baseball owners, and they're the only league in the Big Four, if you count NHL as part of the Big Four, that doesn't have a salary cap.
I see.
And then on the other side of the coin, the most rich North American sport in the world, the NFL, the players' union is crap. They got crushed in a strike. They made that movie about it where they hired scabs to play the replacements. And the NFL is the only league of the Big Four that doesn't have guaranteed player contracts. They can cut any player anytime.
They don't have guaranteed player contracts?
Nope. So, like, if you get injured as an NFL player, your money's not guaranteed. Unless you sign a contract that has, can have a specified amount of guaranteed money. But, like, if you sign a 10-year contract or whatever and you get injured the first year, they can just cut you from the team. And that's a done deal, yeah. So, I don't know. Good union's important. That's just a fun example I think of.
You've got sports on the brain, because what's going on this week?
Well, I guess that can be my nerd thing next week. But NHL starts tomorrow. Well, today when you hear this episode, because we're publishing this on Tuesday, right?
Yep.
One day late for the holiday.
Woo!
There's three games on Tuesday, and then I think the rest of the teams play on Wednesday,
including ours.
Well, my second team plays on Tuesday. The Kraken is the late game.
Yeah, on Tuesday. And watch part of it.
Yeah, I think I'll turn it on. It's the expansion buddies, the Kraken versus the Golden Knights.
So, love it. Yeah. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's head to the main topic.
Next up on NDR, New Disney Radio, a deep dive.
Okay, Brandon, we started doing these deep dives, and we've done a couple now, and the first one was like Superstar Limo.
Yeah.
Because it was like so, that's an extreme example of a not popular ride. And then we did the Davy Crockett canoes, because, like, that is...
Weird.
Weird, yeah.
It's something that you would never install in a theme park.
Now.
Ever. Like, can you imagine Epic Universe is like, yeah, we got Super Nintendo Land, and we're going to do this, and you got the Donkey Kong roller coaster, and you got the Monsters Land, and you got your Werewolf roller coaster, and you got your Harry Potter Land... And you're also going to paddle some canoes.
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
No, I could not. But that was funny. We're going to go, I guess, odd for us, because we're going to talk about a quite popular attraction now.
Yeah, we're going to the other end of the spectrum now. not esoteric.
No.
not a deep cut.
There's no irony here at all.
This is one that you're going to see a lot of deep dives on if you look, because it's like one of the most popular attractions
in the
world.
Doing my research for this was kind of difficult. Like, I had to like pare it down quite a bit. So I'm going to keep it like, I apologize if you've heard some of this stuff before, but there's like some cool history and things with this one.
I do have the episode title for this one already, though.
Oh, do you? Are you going to tell me?
I got 999 problems, but a ghost ain't one.
That's a good title. Good job. There's always room for a thousand. Okay, so the Haunted Mansion is a dark ride attraction located in Disneyland, Magic Kingdom, and Tokyo Disneyland. And I know what you're about to say. What about the other places?
What about the other places?
I'm going to get there.
Boy, are you psychic? Are you related to Madame Leota?
I am. No one can see me doing my fingers crossed, but we're like this.
Oh, yeah.
Haunted Mansion's actually my favorite example of, with the exception of the two Disney park, Disneyland, US, Disneyland and Disney World, the two USA parks, it's different in every place. But it exists in every place.
And even the USA ones, the exterior is quite different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the Haunted House attraction features a ride-through tour in an Omnimover vehicle called a Doom Buggy, and a walk-through show is displayed to riders waiting in the queue line. That's actually considered part of the show.
And it should be. There's
totally
there's some,
super cool.
There's some really cool stuff on the grounds, and then once you go through the stretching room, there's some really cool stuff.
And the stretching room by itself is a thing. Each location differs slightly in design, utilizing a range of technology from centuries-old theatrical effects.
Pepper's Ghost.
Pepper's Ghost. To modern special effects, including spectral audio animatronics. The Haunted Mansion inspired two similarly themed attractions, Phantom Manor and Mystic Manor. They just have different names, right? But because they are quite... They are different.
Well, and they're, like, more culturally appropriate. Yeah. And...
So Phantom Manor is in Disneyland Paris, and Hong Kong Disneyland is Mystic Manor. The oldest opened in Disneyland in August 1969, and the most recent iteration is Mystic Manor in Hong Kong Disneyland in May 2013. So back in 1951, when Walt hired the very first Imagineers, the initial sketches of a park, which was much smaller and intended to be across from the studios, featured a carnival and a crooked street leading away from it with an old church and a graveyard attached to a run-down old manor. And this was done by Disney legend Harper Goff, who is actually, I think he's even on one of the windows on Main Street.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, those old concept arts, and they evolved. Even the first Disneyland one.
Totally.
They always wanted a haunted house.
Exactly.
They always wanted
a
haunted house.
They always did. So I've got here a little bit of history leading to what we know to Disneyland. And exactly what you said, they always wanted some version of a haunted house.
Yeah. And they didn't have one when they opened.
Nope.
But...
Didn't have one for a long time. We said 1969, the first one. Disney asked Imagineer Ken Anderson to create a story using Goff's original sketches from 51. Anderson was inspired by the plans for New Orleans Square, which was in the initial talks for Disneyland, and was going to have a pirate wax museum and haunted walkthrough house kind of side by side, and was set to fit between Adventureland and Frontierland. So he came up with a decrepit antebellum manor based off an actual house. This house is what we know as the Haunted Mansion is an amalgamation of two houses. So the exterior, that with the columns and everything like that is designed after the Shipley Lydecker or Lydecker house in Baltimore, Maryland.
And it also just evokes your like typical plantation.
Oh, totally.
House,
but if you look up that house, it looks exactly like the Haunted Mansion, the Disneyland Haunted Mansion.
Yep.
The other part, I'm going to talk about the house. That one is a very famous house that is inspired by some of the like creepier stuff, but this is just the initial exterior, right? So they imagine various stories to fit the attraction. You know, they want their storytelling.
Of course.
A ghostly sea captain who killed his nosy bride, then hanged himself, a mansion home to an unfortunate family, and a ghostly wedding party with well-known Disney villains and spooks. So they would have liked that, trying to get some...
Trying to tie in some IP back
stuff.
Then.
Mm-hmm. So people are like, oh, that's a new thing. Disney famously rejected his idea. He didn't want anything to appear run down in his park, but he was inspired by the Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California, especially the idea with stairs and hallways leading to nowhere and doors that open to nothing. So for those of you who don't know, I'm sure... Like, this is a very famous haunted house in your spooky season. You know what the Winchester house is
like,
right? So...
And you're like, Winchester? Is that, like, supernatural? Well, it...
Kind of,
supernatural's
because they were named,
like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
But it is the family that's well-known for the Winchester guns.
Which is what the story of it is.
And that's how they had a fancy house. Mm-hmm. And then the lady who ended up inheriting everything went crazy and, like, just kept building her house for years.
She believed that she was being haunted by the... by the ghosts of everyone who was killed with her family's rifle, the Winchester rifle. And so to escape them, they had to work on the mansion at all hours because that was the only way to keep the ghosts at bay. So she had contractors working there at all times. And when they kind of didn't stop making sense, it was just put up a wall here, put up a door here, like just to keep them going at all times until basically she went crazy and she died.
I think she went crazy before, like...
Well, yes, until that took its toll, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, for, like, decades, essentially, this sprawling manor is just absolute chaos. And it was just so they would always have contractors working at all times. So in the middle of a floor, it'll just have a staircase leading up, like, to nothing. Things like that.
The true meaning of busy work.
Yeah, exactly. That's keep the ghosts at bay.
Who knew that general contractors were a ghost weakness?
Who knew? But that's what Disney was interested in. Mm-hmm. And, of course, loved that it was a California thing. He was very interested in that. So in 1961, finally, they started advertising that it would open in 1963. They actually showed up in park
missed
maps.
Missed it by just this much.
By they would show up in park maps, mm-hmm. you know, coming soon. The exterior was done then, actually, and featured in 1965 on Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color TV show. I've seen that episode. But it actually didn't open until 1969 because, you know, it was supposed to open in 1963. Well, 1964 to 65 was the World's Fair. Do you remember Disney wasn't going to be involved, and then at the last minute they did a whack of stuff?
Yeah.
That's why it didn't open in 63 or 64 or 65.
They built three attractions in a short amount of time.
And that, like, reinvented everything.
And shipped them across the country and then operated them for a couple years. Like, yeah.
So it paused that, and then, okay, 1965 World's Fair's done. So we can get back to work on the Haunted Mansion, and then Walt died in 1966. So they completely redesigned it after that, but there was definitely, like, a mourning period where they kind of kept, they just basically tried to keep their heads above water for a little bit, and then they went back to designing everything. So after the fair, Anderson, so this is before, this Walt's still alive at this point, but he's getting sick. After the fair, Anderson had left the project at this point, and other Imagineers joined and contributed, most notably Raleigh Crump. He created, yeah, the Raleigh Crump.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He created a bunch of images and ideas for a museum of the weird. Coffin clocks, man-eating plants, and candlemen. Walt thought of incorporating these into a themed restaurant attached to the Haunted Mansion, kind of like reiterating with how the Blue Bayou is attached to pirates.
Ah.
That was their idea. And actually, I just got to say.
Should have done that. That would have been cool.
So cool. The Melty Candleman
mm-hmm.
is actually made an appearance in this year's Haunted Mansion holiday. Like, you can see it now when you, like, this year's, there was a Melty Candleman.
Melty Candleman.
In honor of Crump. Raleigh Crump and Yale Gracie were put in charge of creating illusions for the attraction, and they focused on apparitions using Pepper's ghost, which we said that was way back. So the first recorded use of Pepper's ghost, for anyone who doesn't know, although this is pretty well known thanks to Haunted Mansion, but just for anyone who doesn't know.
It is... The Haunted Mansion is the most famous example
for,
like, your average Joe. But, yeah, it's an old magician's trick, basically.
1862 is the first recorded one. And basically you're reflecting an image of an object off stage, so it appears to be in front of the audience. That's how you have ghosts that appear see-through. But you're right. It was used in theater and magicians.
Yeah.
For magicians. So Mark Davis and Claude Coates, two of the mansion's main designers, disagreed on whether the ride should be frightening or enjoyable. And we're going to talk about the movie in a second because this kind of reiterates that.
Yep.
Coates, who was originally a background artist, wanted scary. Produced renditions of moody surroundings like endless hallways, corridors of doors, bleakly spooky environments. Davis was an animator and character designer who wanted mostly comical characters, thought the ride should be silly and full of gags. But in the end, both artists got their ways. Someone named an Imagineer named Atencio combined their approaches and ideas and basically transitioning from dark and foreboding to a spirited entertainment. Thank you, music, for a large part of this. The ride narration was performed by Paul Frees in the role of the ghost host, and the attraction's theme song, Grim Grinning Ghost, was composed by Buddy Baker with lyrics by Atencio. Different versions of it can be heard in nearly every single part of the ride. After Walt died in 66, the Museum of the Weird was abandoned completely. They're like, we can't handle something that big right now. And the walkthrough elements and attractions were also, like, thrown out, though some characters and elements incorporated into the final attraction, like we said, Candleman and Holiday this year. Adventures Through Inner Space attraction developed the Omnimover system, and that was like, this is going to fix it. So the basic problem was walkthroughs are very slow capacity.
They're cheap to build and easy to have, like, stuff, but yeah, they're low capacity.
So the original idea was maybe we'll have this big house and we'll run two groups through, so that way it'll be some. And then as soon as we have this Adventures Through Inner Space going on and we figured out how to work the Omnimover, then they're like, oh, that's how we're going to get people through here. So they designed the Doom Buggy, and because of its shape, it's almost like an egg shape, like you're pretty enclosed. Imagineers can tilt and rotate you to control the story, which is what they wanted. It was a significantly higher capacity, but the partly enclosed vehicles gave the feeling they wanted of wandering alone in a haunted house.
Which works very well. Like, basically the only time you see any other guests is in the seance room where it's a semicircle.
And that works to see other people because you're in a seance with other people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're around the table holding hands for the seance is the idea. I will say that whoever designed the Doom buggies were short people, though.
Oh, yeah, your poor knees every time.
I have to be very careful where I put my legs as that when the ghost host closes the Doom buggy for you, bang!
Knee, every time.
Knee, ow.
You go in first and you angle towards the middle.
Yeah.
We found that works better for tall people, even more so than going in after and angling towards the middle. It's something about the way that fits. I don't know if it's the tilting or whatever.
And just like the amount of time you have to get situated. I don't know.
So for tall people, there is a trick.
Yeah. Tall person in first.
And
hide
angle
your knees.
Watch your knees. Watch your knees. So I just have a list of dates here important to the Haunted Mansion. In 1994, the ride was updated. It was closed for the first big update. In 2001, the audio was updated, and they included all their information about safety. In 2004,
what?
That was actually part of a whole park safety thing.
Sure.
In 2004, the seance room was updated. So if you remember going and Leota's head just sat in the crystal ball, and now you go and it's floating, and you're like, did I just dream that? Nope. That wasn't until 2004 her head started floating. And remember, I said that in 2008 when we went. I was like, I swear, her head just sat there. Hmm. Yeah, that's what happened. In 2011, Walt Disney World opened more interactive queue, including the headstones. In 2015, there was the confirmed return of the Hatbox Ghost to Disneyland. And that was added to Walt Disney World in November 2023. So pause for just a second. And I mean, we're already in 2015, so pretty close here. The Hatbox Ghost.
It was added to Disney World in November 2023.
It will be added. Sorry, it was confirmed that it will be added.
Okay, I'm like, wow, we're time travelers. Amazing.
The spirits have told me. So, sorry, it was confirmed during actually the last Destination D23 that in November it'll be coming to Walt Disney World. So the Hatbox Ghost was an original attraction and it never really worked right. It is a gentleman, top hat, and he's holding a hat box. And when you go past, his head is supposed to disappear from his face, like where his head is supposed to be, and go into the box.
Mm-hmm. And it never worked properly. The effect never super worked. So they got rid of it.
Yeah, they got rid of it. And then they brought it back again for a little bit and it stopped working again. So they took it away again. And basically someone just tinkered with it and
they have better
technology caught up to
what they wanted to do. They have better technology. Like they have like even like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs ride has really cool LED face animatronics. They use that technology to do the hatbox. It's much easier now.
Yeah, it's much easier to do it reliably. It's the whole thing. In 2020, it was closed for an extensive refurbishment. There was a lot of uncertainty if it would get done to reopen during the closures with, I mean, hey, 2020, what happened? But with the park reopening on April 30th, 2021, it was updated and did reopen at the same time. And there were two new additions at that time, including the One-Eyed Cat, which is, again, an old thing, and a return of an original painting when, you know, the paintings all shift. Yep. And that is the April to December painting, which is right by the loading of the Doom buggies now. Okay, so I've got a bunch of stuff about the Haunted Mansion in, like, pop culture, but first of all, I have a very important divisive question for you. One of the most divisive questions that any Disney Parks fan can be asked.
Oh, which Haunted Mansion?
Haunted Mansion? Original or Holiday?
I mean, this is a dumb question because it's obviously the original is better, but Haunted Mansion Holiday is a very good, well-done, well-executed reskinning.
Yeah.
It's an almost total conversion.
Yep.
They do a lot of work on it, and the theme is good. Like,
oh, yeah.
The new theme
suits
is good.
Well.
It's a very good thing. It's maybe on for a little too long. But
how else do you do it, right? Because you want to have it for Halloween. I get people are like, I want to go on the original for Halloween, but, like, that's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe eventually they'll do it so it's just, like November 1st or November 2nd, whenever they'd switch over to do the Christmas.
They could, yeah. It could be like...
Every other year they do a shorter one or something.
Because technically The Nightmare Before Christmas, the whole story takes place after Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like November 1st is when it starts.
Yeah.
So, but in order to do that, you have to close for 2 weeks. Are you going to close in November? That's almost not enough time for something on that scale.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be closed for Halloween.
No. So, I don't know. I think they do it the only way they can.
Yeah,
so,
I think that's what they're doing now. Yeah. I totally agree. I love the original. I love the the Haunted Mansion Holiday, but I love the original.
Yeah. The original's better, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Me too.
With Haunted Mansion Holiday as a... It's the only... Like, I can't think... Well, you know what? The Small World reskin was pretty good, but that's not... It's not even on the same level of
no.
work. I haven't seen, like, Monsters After Dark.
Right.
I haven't seen... What else do they do?
Hyperspace
Mountain. I haven't seen that, so I can't really compare. But I think this is the one that they actually, like, go all out.
Yeah.
And it's, like, almost its own new ride.
Totally. So much so that Disney Dreamlight Valley, the content, you if you get the Haunted Mansion, it comes with two houses. It comes with the Haunted Mansion and the Haunted Mansion Holiday House. In case you're wondering.
I wasn't.
No, because it's almost two separate things. And it's tough because I love the original so much, but I'm a massive Nightmare Before Christmas fan. So I was very happy. And definitely when I was sleep deprived walking back to our hotel, I was singing, humming, Kidnap the Santa Claus, which is a great song to do for that. And it's not the first one I would have expected. It's really well done. Okay, Haunted Mansion, the attraction in pop culture. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
In 2014, January 2014, Marvel Comics began publishing Seekers of the Weird, a 5-issue miniseries and the first under the Disney Kingdom's imprint. The miniseries was based on the Museum of the Weird,
oh.
Raleigh Crump's unused precursor designs for the attraction. In 2016, another miniseries was published under the same imprint based on the Haunted Mansion itself. So the first run was... Museum of the Weird. And this,
interesting.
Yeah, I was like, I kind of want to find those. That's great.
Yeah, they're probably, mm-hmm. probably tough to find. I don't know.
In the 2018 film The Predator, the characters enter a large elevator room and a security guard recites part of the Haunted Mansion script, including, "Is this haunted room actually stretching?"
So which...
The Predator.
What year was that?
2018.
Okay, so the... Was that the Adrian Brody one, maybe?
Not sure.
Anyway, that's interesting. I don't remember.
I never saw that
if
one.
If I saw it, I don't remember that, but that's funny.
So that one was my favorite one, because I was like, The Predator? Really? The preamble in the stretching room is probably the most quoted thing from a Disney attraction, and it's on most lists of how to be a bad Disney adult.
Yes, it's true. Don't you can mouth the words.
I do.
But don't say it out loud.
It's someone's first ride.
It's pretend it's someone's first ride and don't ruin it for them.
So when we went in 2008, and any time I've been before that, every time I went on, almost every person said it out loud. The last two times we went, almost nobody said it out loud. The time that most people said it out loud was on Dapper Day.
Well, so we went and it was like, I think it was our last ride on mm-hmm. Dapper Day. And there was, like, four people in there, and they were all dapper.
Dapper people. Yeah. And, so that's fine,
and,
first of all.
Like, one of them was wearing, like, a nightmare-themed...
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Was it Nightmare or Haunted Man? Anyway, it was, like, a spooky thing.
It was the Haunted Man. She was doing the Ghost Host,
She was doing Ghost Host Dapper, and clearly everyone there was into it, and then...
So that was totally
that
fine.
That was okay, but... That's, like, the only time I would say it's okay.
Agree. So you've heard this story before, but I'm going to tell my... I have more here, but we're getting into, like, the movies and stuff. I have my favorite memory of Haunted Mansion is from... Well, I don't know. I really love the riding with you. We made that our, like, last ride a couple times and first rides and stuff. But one of the... Oh, man. I don't remember how old I was, but my younger siblings were quite small. And it was, we went one summer and like small enough that they were doing rider swap, kind of small. And we were making use of the, if you're in line at midnight accounts, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we were coming from something And as we were heading, we saw that the person was standing there with the rope about to close off Haunted Mansion. And she saw us coming, kind of like waved us. So we were like, okay. So we like got in line for Haunted Mansion. Then she closed it behind us. So like it was probably 12:01 and she saw us coming kind of thing. And we went and we were the only ones in the stretching room. And there was myself and my one brother's kind of close to me in age. And then there was a big gap. And then there was my other brother and my sister who had been so small. She was unaffected at this point, I think. And the guy, when they're doing it, like the ghost hosts come out and everything. And they kind of asked like my dad, mom, and myself, and my other brother, how nervous the younger siblings were. They're like, are they okay? Like, are they going to be good? And we're like, oh yeah, they're fine. So they do the, is this haunted room actually stretching or is it your imagination? The whole thing. And then when it's the lights for, of course, there's always my way and the lights go out and there's a scream. They turn the lights on and no one was there. There was no one there. They were hiding behind my parents and then jumped out to scare my younger siblings. And so they squealed and stuff and giggled, but they were like laughing. Like it was fun. And then because we were the last ones on at midnight, that went on the whole ride. Like things would shut down and then they just like walk by or something like that. Like they were having fun because there was this family of different aged kids and it was, we were the only ones on Haunted Mansion. Pixie dusting the heck out of us. Yeah, so it was great. And it was just like such a good example of Disney cast members. Because mm-hmm. It wasn't anything crazy. They didn't have anything to give us. It was just like a really memorable thing.
Well, and you remember it. Like
I remember it. I don't know if anyone else. My parents probably remember it, but the other ones would have been too little, okay, right? Well,
25 years later.
Like, yeah, let's remember how old I am. So there's actually some books which are, like you said, Haunted Mansion. There's so many deep dives, right? The Haunted Mansion from the Magic Kingdom to the Movies by Jason Sorrell, and The Haunted Mansion Imagineering a Disney Classic, also by Sorrell. He was a former Imagineer, and that's considered to be like, if you want to know about The Haunted Mansion, read those books. Wonder Magazine, number 13, did a Haunted Mansion deep dive, and that was the children's magazine for grown-ups paperback, and that is by Lynn Hatcher and Mike Bogue.
Can't believe they copied us doing a Haunted Mansion deep dive.
Yeah, geez, guys. What the heck? It is also where you know you have all the stories about people trying to spread ashes at Disney
parks. Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. You'll get kicked out and banned for life.
And they'll vacuum it up, so.
Yeah, it ends up in a vacuum. But Haunted Mansion was the number one place that people would do, of course.
Yeah.
And Walt Disney World was slightly more of a problem than Disneyland, as far as they know. Because Disneyland, they probably happened before people knew about it. Mm-hmm. Pirates is the second most, in case you're wondering.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Basically, two best rides. So, movies. We have three.
Well, okay, so you talked about some other deep dives and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's also a whole episode of the Imagineering story on Haunted Mansion, which has really good stuff. And they throw in some of like the Haunted Manor.
Yes, the Phantom Manor.
And the Mystic Manor or whatever.
But that's really cool because if you want to see the differences between all of them. And I love to. That's actually, so I want to go to all the Disney parks, but moreover, I want to go to each of the Haunted Mansion iterations in each of the Disney parks.
Mm-hmm.
The most famous story about building the Haunted Mansion is when they were coming up with all of the audio animatronics and everything. They very famously had things left on like motion because they were testing all of that stuff. They were testing them all in this big and working on them in this big warehouse, and the custodial crew came through to clean at night and they accidentally had them all turned on, and then when they came the next morning there's a broom lying in the middle and they got a phone call saying they will not be cleaning anymore that area.
And it was still dirty.
And they were fine. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Movies. Ready? 2003, the Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy has a Rotten Tomatoes score of...
0.
13%.
Oh. Someone came along and...
did it just to be 13%.
Did one extra positive review to...
In case you're wondering, the lowest, even if it's a walk-on, 13 minutes is the number it will show up on Haunted Mansion. On the line time.
Yeah. Like, literally, there's no one in line. It'll say 13 minutes.
It goes from 13 to 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. In 2021, The Muppets Haunted Mansion, Rotten Tomatoes score. Do you want to guess?
82.
73.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
ballpark.
It's
an hour-long special.
It's a TV special, so it probably had, like, 80 reviews or something. Mm-hmm. It's low like that, so, yeah.
Yeah. And then 2023, Haunted Mansion... with Owen Wilson. Rotten Tomato score of
70.
Lower.
65.
Keep going.
53.
Keep going.
Really?
37.
Oh, it's not that bad.
No kidding. I was like, what?
I didn't think it was going to be rated that, like, anyway. Yeah. So let's talk about all these things.
So the critics, do you want to talk about the most recent one or let's go back?
No, let's go back. Let's Eddie go back Murphy. In time. Did you ever watch this?
Of course. Oh, more than course. Once.
Oh, wow. Why?
I watched it once when it first came out, and then I watched it more recently. Maybe it was even last year when I was carving pumpkins.
So I don't remember much about it other than it's bad. He's like a real estate agent yeah. trying to sell this haunted house. They incorporate one of the stories of the haunted mansion.
Gracie.
They use Gracie yeah, a lot. Yeah,
so one of the stories, Gracie, and a Gracie does show up in the new one too. Mm-hmm. And that's,
we'll talk about it when we get
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, and that's named after one of the Imagineers who yes. worked on it. But the story with him is it's a heartbreak story. He built it for his wife or his fiance, and then she died. Mm. And there's always questions of suicide with this one. And because, of course, you have the rope in the stretching room, right?
In this backstory, like, some people think that the ghost host is Gracie yes. that's hung himself, and then...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And so this one...
Disney purists don't like that one, but...
No, but in this one, they have that... The two... They show up, and he's supposed to be spending time with his kids, but he wants to make the sale, and...
And there's a love interest that gets, like, possessed or something?
Yeah, so Eddie Murphy's character's wife...
Oh, it is
looks
wife.
Just like this other one, and so they try and get her to die, so they can be together, because then all the ghosts will be released. Because the whole thing is they're all in limbo, and because he's in limbo because it put a curse on the whole place. The thing I liked about this, I'm gonna be okay. It's not good. It's very bad. But there's things I liked about it. They did
early
a lot.
2000s Eddie Murphy made bad movies.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. It was, I don't know. But it did have a lot of nods to Haunted Mansion stuff. And I liked Easter eggs in it. There were a lot of good Easter eggs in it.
Sort of.
And that was what I have to say about that. That's positive.
It was bad. It wasn't funny. It wasn't scary. It was just bad.
It was trying too hard. Thinking they had found all this success with pirates, we're going to do it again. And that's not what happened.
They've never replicated the success of pirates with anything.
Not even with other pirates ones.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but that was their kind of goal here. But they tried to be funny, and it's not working.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, if you're going to try and be funny, and it wasn't funny. It was
No. But yeah, so they really used that storyline, and really hung out on that storyline. 2021, we have The Muppets Haunted Mansion came out, and I was so excited for this. And this one is basically pure Muppets. It's all the cameos.
Yeah, it's basically an extended skit from The Muppet Show.
Exactly.
Based on the Haunted Mansion. You got all your cameos and Muppet-style humor, and it works. It super works.
Yeah, it works with the Haunted Mansion because it knows what it's trying to do, and it does it. Like... I said the phrase the kids would say, it understood the assignment, basically. And they're like, we're the Muppets. This is what we're going to do with it. And a lot of it is like Muppets humor. And a lot of it, there are tons of Easter eggs with this one, but wrapped up in Muppet stuff. So at the end, when you have the stretching room, like, or at the beginning, when you have the stretching room, and then you have the lights all go off and they're screaming, you turn the lights on and there's the goat that always screams and the Muppets standing there screaming. They're like, why are you yelling at me? Like, it's like done like that.
It's really Muppety, and that is a good thing in my book.
Yes.
And it also fulfills like your Disney
nerdness. There's some good cameos in here, including the woman who is... So the woman who did Leota, the original Leota, her daughter did Little Leota for the Haunted Mansion Holiday. And her name's Kim. And she is in this. She comes and she like polishes. Miss Piggy plays Leota. Pigoda? I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, I think it's like Pigoda. Yeah.
And she comes
Madame
and like
Pigoda or
polishes the crystal ball and stuff like that. And you can tell because she like looks and she like rolls her eyes at the camera and walks away. And you're like, oh, she's someone.
She's someone.
But if you don't know, you're just like, oh, she's someone. But that, so they have lots of stuff like that. The premise behind this one, it centers on Gonzo, And Gonzo wants to be a great magician, and he has to survive a night in the Haunted Mansion, and he brings Pepe.
Right, and the great Gonzo has no fear, so...
Yes, that's his whole thing. Yeah. Is it supposed to prey on whatever it is you fear? So, yeah, there's that, and then he has to find out what it is that he fears during this whole thing, and then face it. So, yeah, this one has some cool stuff, including... This one included Constance Hathaway, the bride, who killed all her husbands. And so that's in this one. She goes after Pepe. And that's another...
Pepe kind of deserves it.
Totally. And that's another piece of lore.
He may be a prawn, but he's a bit of a dog.
True story. And that one, when they redid the attic for one of those renovations I was talking about, they like did more with that story. And so they played into that a lot with this this version of the... This reiteration of the mansion movie. Yeah. Yeah. Did you like this one?
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, it's Muppety and that's good.
Yeah, I love it. I have watched it twice. I might watch it again this year. I don't know. It's something you watch while carving pumpkins. It's great.
Yeah, well, that's the nice thing about it. It's truly a Halloween special. So
yeah, it's an hour long.
You can pop it on maybe every other year or something and totally still enjoy it.
Yep. 2023, this year, we have the Haunted Mansion with Owen Wilson. Critics' consensus on this one is Haunted Mansion's talented cast makes the movie a pleasant enough destination, though it's neither scary enough nor funny enough to wholeheartedly recommend.
That's somewhat true, but a little bit unfair. The cast is quite good. The
cast is so good.
My biggest problem with it is it's a little long. It kind of drags in a couple spots. Mm-hmm. But like you said when we were talking before, the mm-hmm. original Haunted Mansion ride ended up being, there was a tug of war between being funny and scary. This movie has that same tug of war, and I think they balanced it out.
Yep, I think they balanced it as well as they could.
It's tougher to do in a movie. Mm-hmm. Like one of the best examples is Ghostbusters.
Yes,
a comedy horror that actually is both. Mm-hmm. It's tough to do. It's tough to do.
Really hard to do.
But if you're super into the Haunted Mansion, like a fan of the park and the Haunted Mansion, then this movie will be enjoyable.
I actually really liked this movie. And which makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was expecting to really like this movie because I heard there were lots of Easter eggs and nods and stuff like that for that, and that a Disney fan would like it. So I was like, oh, I'm going to like that. But I actually liked the story way better, and I thought the actors did a great job.
Yeah.
So I was good with this one. I liked the combinations of the stories they used. They had pieces.
They kind of pulled pieces from everything. They had the sea captain. They had Gracie.
They did.
They had the bride.
But the main villain wasn't Gracie, wasn't the bride, wasn't the sea captain.
No, they were all kind of... Well, the bride was like the sidekick villain, basically.
Kind of. You thought Gracie was the villain to begin with.
You thought Gracie was the villain to begin with. He wasn't. Most of the ghosts were victims themselves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it turned out the real villain...
Spoiler.
Spoiler, 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 spoiler. The real villain is the Hatbox ghost.
Which is great.
So cool.
Because they've done this whole thing and like... Disney fans and millennials, or actually probably older than millennials, have been like obsessed with the Hatbox ghost. And mm-hmm. so making him the villain here, so good. So, so good. Played by Jared Leto.
Played by Jared Leto. And here's the key to having Jared Leto be okay in your movie. Make the character he plays look nothing like or sound nothing like Jared Leto.
Yeah, I was going to thought you were going to say cut off his head.
Yeah, well, that would help too. And also, like, the Hatbox ghost, they named the Hatbox ghost in this. And he was Crump, which was...
Yes. Yeah, like, nod to Crump there. Nod to Crump. Yeah, I was going to... Yeah, you're like, we're going to get back to him. And I was like, yeah, we is. In fact, when they introduced him, I think I squealed when they said his name when we were watching. I was like, hey!
So, I don't know. It's a little bit long, but... The cast is really good. Mm-hmm. The main guy, I don't know the actor's name. I'm sorry.
No, hold on. I'm going to look him up because I think this is worth looking up.
He plays it completely straight, like he's acting in a drama.
Mm-hmm. See, it's funny because they say with Owen Wilson, but he's not the main character.
Owen Wilson is...
Owen Wilson.
Just being Owen Wilson, he...
Wow.
But here's the thing about Owen Wilson. He just has good chemistry with everyone. Like, I don't know.
That's true. Lakeith Stanfield.
Lakeith, there you go. Yeah. He played it like just
so good.
So dead straight as a drama.
So do you know what he's from? What he's most well known for? I really want to tell you. It's amazing.
He was in the Black Messiah.
And
he was in a few things. Mm-hmm. Like, I recognized him.
Yeah, he was in The Black Messiah. He's in Knives Out, which we haven't seen.
He's in Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What?
Death Note.
Nah, I haven't seen that.
He's in lots of, like you said, Get Out. He was Straight Outta Compton. Selma. We've seen Selma.
So a lot of, like, black, heavy-duty movies.
And he was on Broadway.
Broadway.
In the Book of Mormon. He plays the king, warlord.
The warlord in the Book of Mormon.
Oh. I don't know when he was.
Right, but he did it at some point.
He did it at some point.
I could see him pulling that off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I don't remember where I read that, but I saw that somewhere and went, what?
I had recognized him because we've seen him all these like prestige black stories. And mm-hmm. So he has acting chops and he used them
totally
in this movie.
Totally.
For sure.
Tiffany Haddish is also in it. Comedian, actress.
Yeah, she was the medium
who has to contact Madame Leota, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. Love it. Rosario Dawson. Hey, lots of Rosario Dawsons. And Danny DeVito.
Yeah. And Danny DeVito is just being late stage career Danny DeVito, where he doesn't care and is just funny.
He's just like, I just want to do this funny thing. Uh-huh. So he did. It was great.
Yeah. just having a good time.
Yeah, it was good. I actually really liked it. This isn't going to be an every year watch for me. I mean,
no.
We're not talking Halloween Town here, okay? Like, it's not. you facepalmed.
I did.
But is this going to be like every couple years I'm good to watch this? Every two or three? For sure. I liked it. Okay. Have you, Brandon, heard of the creepy thing about the Haunted Mansion? The creepy fan theory?
Yes, I have, actually. I don't know if this is what you're going to say, but a lot of people believe that the story, you go through the stretching room, you get in your doom buggy, and you go through and you see the ghost dancing, and the doors turning and all that, and then you go up into the attic, and then you see the stuff with the bride, and then it's all scary and stuff, and the ghost is playing the piano, mm-hmm. and then you kind of turn around and go down into like the courtyard where yep. all the ghosts are dancing and stuff, but you're up in the attic and then you're in the courtyard. So a lot of people think that that's you dying and entering the spirit realm because you fall out of the window
mm-hmm.
of the attic. Is that what you're gonna say?
Yep, that's okay. What I'm gonna say. Yeah,
I like it. It makes sense. It works with the layout.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so thumbs up to that one.
I don't dislike it. I don't think that's what they're going for, but I have no problem with adding this story to it. And I like that you crawl out of a mausoleum at the end. Like, the exit is a mausoleum.
So, but just think about it. Like, the other Omni Mover that is shaped exactly the same, the Little Mermaid,
mm-hmm.
You're in a clamshell, and you turn around, and you go down the hill, and that's you going under the ocean.
Yeah.
So, you falling out of the attic, and you're dying, that makes it makes perfect sense.
So, how do you get out, then?
You climb out of the mausoleum, so you're not actually dead. You're just mostly dead.
Not dead yet. Or Billy Crystal comes, yeah. And he's like, Dublev. but yes, I like that one. Okay, do you have anything to add about Haunted Mansion?
No, I like it a lot. It's I don't like waiting in line for a long time for it,
mm-hmm.
because it can get pretty lined mm-hmm. up at certain times of the year. Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. This is tied for my favorite attraction.
It hits best at night, of course.
Of course. But yeah, it's tied for my favorite attraction. I love this one. Again, I have a problem waiting in a long line for it because it does move quickly and other times you can walk right on. So especially at night when it's the best anyway. Mm-hmm. So then I like both. I will wait for not a long time. I'll wait not a long time for original and not a long time for holiday. Brandon, you're going to invent a drink.
Oh, goodness. I already invented the title for this episode.
I'm going to give you two options. You can pick which one you want to invent. One is the Hatbox Ghost, and one is the Doom Buggy.
How about you invent a drink this time?
I did all the research.
Yeah, so you should be well-versed in the things. You have to, okay, here's the thing. You have to pick the liquor
that you're going to use?
That I will use, and I'll pick the mix.
Okay. Which one are you doing? Are you doing...
You pick.
Doom Buggy? Or are you going to do Doom Buggy?
Let's go Doom Buggy.
Because Hatbox Ghost got a lot of love. Well, love's a strong word. With the movie, we're going to go Doom Buggy.
Okay. I'll just do it. I'll just do the Doom Buggy.
They can't see you flailing your arms like Kermit.
Okay. We're going to make the Doom Buggy. It's going to be dark rum.
Of course it is. I wouldn't even thought of that. Of course it's dark rum.
It's dark rum, and so you need like some ghostly bits, so you'd have to put Sprite over top of it. That's your like ectoplasm.
Mm-hmm.
And what else can we do with haunted things? I don't know. Maybe just Sprite and dark rum.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's not great. Not my best work, but I didn't want to do this, so.
But you have to put it in a round brandy glass.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, it definitely has to be, you know, like a brandy snifter or some sort of rounded glass. Mm-hmm. And you have to watch your knees while you drink it.
Stare at your knees while holding it and drinking it. Or like, actually, I like the additions.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
Good work.
Not my best work.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Tastier than some of the things you've invented. Yeah,
you're gonna have to start giving me like heads up when you're gonna do this.
No, you do right off the cuff. Okay. Anything to add now?
Maybe some sort of bitters.
Oh,
put
okay.
it in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like bitter old bitter ghosts. Old
ghosts. Yeah, they're stuck. How many ghosts are in the Haunted Mansion?
999.
There's ghost ain't one.
Here, let's see. What kind of bitters? Rum bitters. Generally, you put whiskey. I think you should also have, like, a dash of lime.
Okay.
To just lime up the Sprite a little bit.
That works.
And it's green.
Yeah, green is ghostly and Halloween-y. Ghostly.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking ectoplasm from
I'm trying to I'm just ectoplasm. Yeah, going ectoplasm.
Well, that is our show this week. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. That's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts and our email. You can find us on Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter or X at disneyapodcast, even though we don't update it there anymore. Still recommend you checking out Brandon's live tweets of the movies he's watched for Blind Date with Disney.
What?
Blind Date with Disney?
I don't. What? No.
No, live. You live
tweeted. Oh, I thought you were signing me up to do more.
You're gonna.
No.
Down the road.
Way down the road.
In like 2 weeks. You can also find Disney A episodes on your favorite. I just had a cough. It's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
In 2 weeks, you can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't, please do. It helps us. Algorithms. Everything is algorithms. Algorithms are what haunt me. Next episode, Brandon, we are going to take a mini break from spooky season to discuss Ahsoka.
Nope, it's still spooky season, and I'll tell you why.
I'm excited.
Next week.
Oh, okay. So consider this your like big spoiler warning. Ahsoka. We're talking about it next week. You want to watch Ahsoka if you don't want to be spoiled between now and then.
Or you can just listen to us and...
And then watch Ahsoka and you'll be like, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works too. So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A...
You're just mostly dead.
Not dead yet. Or Billy Crystal comes and he's like, Dublev.